Greetings to everybody out there in the Pedal Shift newsletter community, and welcome to October 2016 and the October Pedal Shift newsletter. This is probably one of the best months for bike touring in my neck of the woods. Temperatures tend to be a little bit cooler. The crush of people on some of the routes is gone. It's just a great time to be out on a bike and out camping as well. So I hope that you are all out there enjoying your bike touring, whether it's doing it yourself or living vicariously through this podcast or through friends and family and whatnot. So happy October. A couple of things I wanted to throw out there. A reminder that Pedal Shift Tour Journal's Volume 7 Oregon Coast is available. And if you missed out on the live version, you can grab it for $10 and help support the show. And of course, I've also got the brand new bundle of all 7 volumes of Pedal Shift Tour Journals that's available for 50% off the list price. Again, this all helps out everything. It helps support the show. If you're interested in doing it that way, that's over at Pedal Shift Plus. That's pedalshift.net/plus. Also, something that's a little more on the free side of things, we finally have Pedal Shift stickers. Do you need more orange on your bike? I can help you with that. I have a link in the email newsletter to give me your mailing address for the brand new design of the Pedal Shift sticker, and I'm looking to send out a bunch this week. You can get it for free if you're a newsletter subscriber, and if you're listening to this, that's you, pedalshift.net/stickers. And of course, there'll be a link in that email as well. For the month of October, the bonus pod is a topic that I am actually kind of researching as I've been going along, and that is shopping for a cold weather sleeping bag. And this is something that you may or may not even need. It just sort of depends on the kind of touring that you're thinking of doing. Last fall, I was doing some camping where the lows fell well into the 30s and at least one night flirted with freezing and below freezing. I have an extremely old cold weather sleeping bag. It is, I think, somewhere around 25 or 30 years old. I sort of inherited it from my father when he kind of retired from camping. I don't think he's gone camping for many years. He just turned 70 yesterday, actually. And it's a great bag, but it was probably top of the line back in the day. It had some funky synthetic fill in it. He swears it goes down into, it's a 0-degree bag. I'm not sure that's the case anymore. But it's heavy and it's really, really, it doesn't compress very well. So it's not really well suited for a multi-day bike tour. Since I was just doing an overnight, and I've used it before, it's been fine, but I'm looking to sort of upgrade the bag because I am interested in doing bike tours well into the winter, or at least in the sense that if I'm at elevation, flirting when I get lows into in or around the freezing mark, or perhaps a little bit cooler than that. So I'm in the market for a cold weather sleeping bag. So as I've been kind of going through the process of all of this, I thought that this would be a good topic for the newsletter. So the first thing you'll want to think about is, do you really need a winter bag at all? And I put winter in quotes. And the reason is that very often we'll think, well, I think I do. I think I want to be able to camp and be able to have a bag that's warm enough for 15 degrees Fahrenheit. And, you know, for the most part, most of us aren't biking in those types of conditions to begin with, nor do we ever get at elevation where we're going to be finding temperatures that low. So the first thing you want to think about is, what is the nature of the type of biking that you're going to be doing, and what is the weather going to be like? If you're not going to be anywhere near 32 degrees, if you think that the coldest you'll ever be is maybe the upper 40s or low 50s, frankly, you do not need a cold weather or winter bag. So that would be the first thing I say. The second thing is, even if you think that occasionally you will end up with lows in, say, the lower 40s or something along those lines, you may want to consider alternative ideas to upgrade your current existing kind of lightweight summer bag. And that could be things like getting a liner, and that can be something that's the classic silk or poly sleeping bag liner that are lightweight, easy to carry. And they'll add a few degrees to the temperature rating on any bag that you've got, regardless of type. The other thing is something that I experimented with last late fall, and that was using a Mylar emergency blanket. I found that to actually work pretty well. And so for instances where you're sort of like, well, I don't know if I'll need it or not, you know, throwing a 1 ounce, or probably it's not even an ounce, Mylar emergency blanket in the bottom of a pannier and just having it, that certainly can be something that will dramatically raise the kind of temperature rating for your sleeping situation. So think about those types of things before you even get to this question of, hey, I'm in the market for a winter bag. I get to the point where I've decided that, yes, I do need something extra. I use a kind of classic summer 40 degree, very light, very compressible. I think it's an REI bag. And then I'll supplement that in the cooler temperatures. So say when temperatures are getting down into the upper 40s or so, maybe a little bit less, I think the bag is rated for 50 or 55. And of course, that's all comfort. You know, that those ratings are really subject to the temperature that you prefer. It's kind of an average temperature. And of course, they do surveys and stuff like that. So, you know, your mileage may vary. I use a fleece liner. So it's a heavier version of the classic kind of sleeping bag liner. And that works really well for, frankly, most of the time that I'm out there. And sometimes I'll use just one and not the other. But for the 30 degree temperatures that I believe I'm going to be having this fall, and well into late fall, I think I need something that is more than what those two things can do together. I think that that can get me down into the, we'll call it the low 40s, but really from a comfort perspective, maybe the low to middle 40s as a low. And of course, I'm talking Fahrenheit here, so apologies to everybody who's on the metric system. You can just figure it out. Just plug all these numbers in, or I could actually do the math for you. I'll try as I go along. So as we start flirting with zero Celsius, as we start getting way down into the 30s, I need something better that I can bike with. And I've determined that my current winter bag is just not going to fly for that. So I've been looking at the different research out there. And the one thing that I've definitely seen is that, you know, before I even go there, hey, maybe try wearing more clothes or wear a hat. And I've talked about, you know, adding layers. That's not going to be enough, I think, for all of this. So I'm looking at the variety of different types of lower temperature rated bags, and they come in two basic varieties. Number one is synthetic, and the other is some kind of down, and you're going to get either goose or, more likely these days, duck down. Now, for those of you who are vegan, you are almost certainly not going to be interested in the down products, of course. Synthetic is making great strides. Downside to synthetic is, you know, it doesn't compress very well comparatively. It doesn't loft as much. See, and the idea here is, for a winter bag, what you're trying to do is you're basically making this thickness of trapping air above you and to a certain extent below you, although you compress that as you lay down on it. And synthetic just doesn't do as good of a job as goose or duck down. And when it comes to the compressibility, nothing beats those old bird feathers. Water resistance is something that you'll want to think about between the two of them. Although, once you're talking about having a wet sleeping bag, you're probably already sort of in a losing situation. That being said, a synthetic fiber is going to be able to resist and handle being wet better than down fibers will. So that's something to think about. Water resistance, I've talked about mummy bags and claustrophobia. If you're someone like me who doesn't really like feeling that constriction, a mummy bag may not necessarily be for you. What I have found is my claustrophobia fades away as things get colder. I'm not the pull your covers over you kind of guy in any kind of a stretch because of my claustrophobia. But what I have found is when things get really cold, I suddenly don't worry about that as much anymore. It's kind of interesting what your mind does. So mummy bags actually end up being a better bet in terms of lightness, because obviously there's not as much material, and of course kind of trapping in that heat a little bit better. One thing that you might want to consider as an alternative to any of these bags out there is consider getting a quilt. And quilts are generally, I mean, it's basically just a fancy term for, it's a giant blanket that is made of either the synthetic fibers or, more likely, the down fibers. They tend to be used in the hammock world, and you'll have both a top quilt, which you would kind of have as a blanket, and an under quilt for the hammock folks. And that, of course, ends up getting strapped underneath you on the hammock. So if you're a hammock person, you probably already know about these kinds of things. For a tent person, Obviously, just a top quote would do. Mysterious James, friend of the show, of course, he is a big proponent of using a quilt, and he has a down, rather high end quilt that he swears by, and he uses it four seasons. He even uses it in the heat of summer. He has most of his body sticking out of it. It's just sort of there as pro forma when it's hot out, but it's great for him when he is out in some very cold conditions that he's been in Alaska and Canada and some other places like that. So consider a quilt, especially if the claustrophobia issue is something that you're thinking about, and maybe you want that flexibility. One other thing that I wanted to say about all of this is, and of course, I've left out a lot of stuff about, you know, fill ratings and all that other kind of stuff. So much of that gets into the nitty gritty that it's not worth going into for a larger or teeny tiny podcast like this. It's kind of larger senses. Obviously, the more fill that you have, the more warm it's going to be, but also the heavier and the less compressible. So last but not least, upgrading your sleeping pad might be something that you'll want to think about as well. I am a big proponent of the air-filled sleeping pads. There are a lot of you out there who love your foam pads, and I think that they're great as well. I just find from a comfort plus sort of heat rating, you end up getting a lot of bang for the buck with an air mattress-y style kind of pad. There are great arguments to be made to have one of both if things are really cold out there. So if you're really going to be doing some super cold weather below zero Celsius, below freezing Fahrenheit, below 32 Fahrenheit, it might be interesting to consider doing a double pad. I've definitely heard of people doing that. I have found that once things fall below 32, that tends to be a time when I am less interested in being outside camping. That is probably going to be something that I'll be revising if I end up doing some later in the season kind of camping out there, or end up doing some more elevation stuff at the margins of the seasons. I'll put up with it. But for the most part, that's when I sort of take a couple of months off. It's just not sort of in my zone of loving, largely because the riding ends up being very cold. There's lots of people that love doing the kind of full-on winter touring, and that's awesome. It's not for me, but I'll never say never. Maybe someday. Maybe after I get this new bag that I'm thinking about getting. Perhaps it'll be something I'll consider doing a little bit more. Some last thoughts on all of this. You can spend a ton, and I mean a ton of money on a sleeping bag. And most people will argue that it's probably money that is very well spent. But I will say your budget and your realistic expectations will steer you in the right direction. If you're not into riding in the cold, then don't worry about getting a super cold bag. I, as I've been saying, don't like camping when it gets much below freezing, so I'm not going to be getting a 15-degree bag. It adds an additional pound, generally, at least the down bags that I was looking at. It was 2.9 pounds versus 1.9 pounds. So, you know, I can save a lot of weight. I can save a lot of bulk just by being more realistic about what I'm actually going to be wanting to sleep in. So that's the decision that I've been making, and I'll be sharing more about that when I review this bag that I'm getting. So that's it for the concepts of shopping for a cold weather sleeping bag. I'm curious what you all are using for your cold weather gear, especially for your sleeping kit. You can email the show pedalshift@pedalshift.net. Would love to share that on a future episode of the program. That's all also for the October newsletter. I hope you all are having an enjoyable fall, and I hope you're all getting out there and riding.